This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Here's to the farmer, the plants, the fields, and the spring. The turn from green to bad harvest, honey.
This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen with questions and answers for the American Family Farmer. This program focuses on the family farm, farm initiatives, food and family connections, all that good stuff. And thinking about farm initiatives, I want to bring you up to date on the latest with the Right to Farm. The first part of the program I like to devote to news, and there are a couple of stories this week that I think deserve our attention. One of them is the fact the Oklahoma Supreme Court has let stand the right to farm. There was a challenge, and you'd wonder, in a state like Oklahoma, where did that come from? Why would there be voters considering the right to farm ballot initiative, and it passed, but then there were some of the members of the high court that said that there needed to be a challenge to this, so that's what there was. There was a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of the proposal, and it's been going on for about a year. The governor there issued an order placing the matter on the ballot, but then it's been really been sticky. And one wonders, and as I said, the state of Oklahoma, why would there be a question about the right to farm? Maybe it's because things have changed. Oklahoma's a pretty good example. Texas is as well. How the demographics are changing and how people just don't know or relate to what's going on the farm. I know in my community here in Massachusetts, where we have the right to farm bylaw that's a state law, and I got it codified in our town meeting because there aren't many farms left. People buy property around the farms. They think it's great, the bucolic views, et cetera. But then when you go to spread manure on the farm on Sunday afternoon, they don't like it. So then there have been challenges to these sorts of things, and they always lose. And so in Oklahoma, the court they looked at the potential challengers, and they told them that because this was a ballot initiative that had been passed, and it was passed by the legislature, the measure calling for support for the farmer in ways that, you know, hadn't been. Who would have thought 15, 20 years ago that people actually want to put farms out of business because they didn't like the noise, they didn't like the smell, they didn't like seeing the animals, yada, yada, yada. It is a great protection, but it is, on the other side, to be used wisely. I think that one of the things that people get upset about, odors from the manure is an example. The people who don't get it are people who are not from farm areas. They go into these places because they're beautiful homes and beautiful open fields and that sort of stuff. But neighbors and farmers have to work together to come to an understanding, a realization, if you will, that there are common interests and there are common needs. And my advice has always been, and this is what happened in Framingham, I've had some confrontations with people here, but more than anything else, we have to learn how to live together. And that's, you know, a pretty natural process for farmers. Things have changed a lot in my lifetime and in yours as well. And they can, some of the neighbors are frustrated and they have hard feelings about the farm. I've been involved in a suit. I had permission to grow cannabis on my farm and got involved in a 2.5-year lawsuit, which eventually I won. But it was because of the, if you will, lack of understanding or the lack of tolerance. These people love living with a farm next door and they think it's going to stay that way forever. And unfortunately, with my challenges, it was either do a cannabis grow to pay the mortgage off or put houses on it. And the house thing, that's not why I've worked decades to keep the farm open. It meant something to me. But the neighbors, these few neighbors, they just didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to know. It's, you know, they're worried about what happens to the wildlife that wanders around the farm and stuff like that. That actually is pretty irrelevant because if you're going to put 179 houses on a farm, there ain't going to be any wildlife left. So here, anyway, I'm talking about my own circumstances. One of the things that is important to know, I guess to have, is the definition of being a nuisance. And so now that most states have passed the right to farm legislation, the concern came as suburbia moved out into our farming regions, the misunderstanding, and perhaps the balancing of rights. You know, it's kind of, I equate it to people moving into a neighborhood near an airport. They knew the airport was there. The neighborhood was built after the airport was there. And they complain to the government because there's noise from planes. Hey, you bought the house next to the runway, so what did you think was going to happen? Same thing is true in farms. The right to farm is a great legal protection. And so the neighbor who's complaining about the smell or whatever it is, if they can't do anything about it, you know, you don't want to rub their noses in it necessarily. But involve yourself in conflict resolution, I think, as much as anything else. It kind of lowers the noise that's coming from the neighbors that don't understand. But the same token is that the right to farm bylaw is very important. Support it and live by it. That would be my advice to those of you who are very interested. If you don't have it in your community, get it there. That would be my advice. Also, advice about getting a good night's rest here from the American Family Farmer at a time when we're all challenged to get enough sleep. We're all in the business of getting up at dawn and working until dark. So when you go home and back to the house, you have your meal, you maybe watch a little TV, maybe you're too tired to go to bed, and you're not sleeping well. That could be because your mattress is old. It doesn't support you. And the pillows are lousy and all of the other things. So let's go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code DJV, and get in on the 30% off for the MyPillow coil mattress, if you will. The sheets, the fabulous Giza Dream sheets, two sets for the price of one, plus free shipping right now at MyPillow.com using that same promo code, DJV. There are all kinds of other offers, guarantees galore. You can use any product in the catalog for 60 days. If you don't like it, you send it back, get your money back. That's a fabulous guarantee. One of the reasons they continue to be so successful at MyPillow and MyPillow.com. So check it out for yourself. Order, use the DJV code. Discounts from 30 to 65% on all the merchandise. The application is different depending on what you're buying, but it's at least 30% off in the catalog at MyPillow.com.
Our most vulnerable veterans are isolated at hospitals. And during their greatest time of need, their loved ones can have little or no contact with them. Imagine having to shelter in place forever. Learn how you can help at healvets.org. Help Heal Veterans with the support of citizens like you is making things better together. Learn more at healvets.org. This message is furnished by Help Heal Veterans, a not-for-profit organization.
Shopping for cars online is slow. Checking all those different sites one by one, Auto Tempest doesn't like slow. That's why we sponsor NASCAR driver Chris Buescher in the number 17 Ford Mustang. It's also why we created a powerful search engine that will scour all the top car shopping sites, letting you search used car listings from across the internet in one search. Why waste time searching each site separately? Use Auto Tempest instead. Find all the cars. AutoTempest.com. All the cars, one search.
How long does it take to tackle a home project? With Angie, you could cross it off your list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need. Indoor, outdoor, repair, or redesign. And we handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. You don't have to lift a finger, except to tap the screen or click the mouse. Plus, Angie is free to use. So bring us your next home project, and we'll bring it home. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the Brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Show. Doug Steffen here, continuing on now, introducing you to a fellow named Matthew Steinberg. Mr. Steinberg is here because he's sort of a local. I didn't know that he was, so I'm learning from my experiences trying to keep my farm going in Framingham, Massachusetts, with an idea, because there are local brewers, and maybe others of you around the country have experienced this, where brewers have come to you and said, let's grow this kind of grain because it would be good for my local brewing establishment. So Matthew is doing that with a company called Exhibit A, which is a brew, I was going to say service, a facility here again in my hometown of Framingham, Massachusetts. And they've come to my attention because of what they're doing with local farmers. And I think that's really the story here, or at least in part it is. There's a great story behind this brewery. There's a great story, I think, Matthew, you'd agree, with all these microbreweries that have grown up. Is it the past 10 years, would you say, the past 20 years? How long have these microbreweries been a factor?
I mean, well, first, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on air with you.
Thank you. Likewise.
I've entered my 25th year of brewing professionally this year, so I'd like to say that it's been about 30 years. But yeah, I mean, the last decade has seen some enormous growth in the small craft breweries.
Well, you know, you wonder where it all goes. I remember Jim Koch. I was doing a local Boston radio program, and somehow or other, he and I got connected. Has to be 30 years ago. I don't know, that is Sam Adams, but he kind of like you and many of the other ones. In Framingham, we have another brewery that's run by three brothers, Jack's Abbey, and it started in the building where you are now. And it just, you know, you look around, you see all these things emerging. Did it start with Coke? You know who Coke is, and Samuel Adams.
Jim was he's kind of like what people would say is the grandfather, great uncle of what we're doing here, along with Ken Grossman from Sierra Nevada out in California. And, I don't know Jim well personally, but I've certainly worked alongside him and have met him many times and have done events with him, as most of my colleagues have in this area. I mean, we all kind of look up to him in a
right
kind of, you know, way that brought the industry to who it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the one who started, if you will, and look at what that's become. And maybe that's what you aspire to. Let's talk about what your aspirations are or what you are thinking, having done this for a number of years. It's a fascinating way for farmers to connect with another side of perhaps the forces of nature that use our products. So we continue on this week's American Family Farmer.
This is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
American Family Farmer Program. I'm Doug Steffen here every week with an overview of what makes you with the potential to keep American family farms going. I'm all about the ideas that can be new and fresh, what's been done by other farmers, share those stories. And so when I saw this, I didn't really know, because I'm not somebody, I've got my friends who are in Framingham that are doing unusual things, but I don't necessarily know where the hops and the grains come from. Although I will tell you that when the other brewery here in Framingham, Matthew, we used to take all of the brewer's grain and feed it to my cows. And then it became so much that I couldn't use it anymore, and they gave it to somebody else. So I guess you and I have never talked about me using your brewer's grain for my cows. What do you do with it? I think that's a question for all these brewers, large and small. What do you do with the brewer's grain?
Yeah, so we have a few waste products from our processes. Obviously, the brewer's grain is the big one. We also have yeast and hop material that we don't want to dump down the drain just because in an ecological reasoning, we choose not to. And we have a farm called Hidden Acre Farms. They're in Medway.
Yeah.
Dave is the farmer and owner there. Wonderful guy. He comes to our brewery basically every day of the week, Monday through Friday. And picks up the grain and any hop trub and other waste products that we could send to him. And he uses it either for feed for his cattle or pigs and also for composting in his field.
Yeah, right.
I'm certainly happy to talk to you about some brewer's grain at your farm. I think when we first started, we were working with a farmer that was basically recommended to us by Jax.
Right.
At the time, and you know, just time goes by. We've grown. We're disposing of about 6,000 to 8,000 pounds every 3 to 4 days of dry weight of brewer's grain. So it's a fair amount.
And yeah.
Well, having a reliable farmer is key.
Yeah. The reason I bring it up in part isn't necessarily for my own benefit, but to give people ideas. Once again, there are a lot of farmers, a lot of dairy guys, and people who are raising beef as well, who are concerned, but more dairy farmers, the content of grain these days, what's in grain that's fed the cattle that are mostly milking, is not to the animal's best. It's good for increased milk, production, but it's not necessarily good for the animals. And I found this out the hard way. We all experiment with stuff. And for those of you who have fed a lot of grain to your dairy animals over the years, and you've noticed that there were a lot of problems with the hoofs, and maybe you didn't put two and two together, I never did until I stopped serving grain to my cows. I never pushed. I had a Jersey herd that I was milking. You may have heard we used to sell a lot of raw milk up on the farm, which is in the same town where your brewery is, and I stopped when I ran into lots of different kinds of problems 6 or 7 years ago. Now I just raise Jersey replacement heifers there. But I will tell you that when I stopped serving grain because I didn't want to push the cows, the feet problems gone. They were just eliminated because there was whatever was in the grain was contributing to laminitis and all kinds of other foot problems, and have to have the trimmer in at least once, twice a year. That's all gone when you don't use grain. So I decided to tepidly use some of the grains from the local breweries, not knowing what the impact would be. And I found that whatever you do to make beer, it takes out whatever is in the grain that's bad for the cows. So, voila, we have a win-win situation all the way around. Yeah, it's very cool. All right, so we got more stories to tell for sure, and inspiring ideas for farmers. That's the idea on the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen.
Do not versus do. This is emotional management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. There's a subtle but profound difference between living your life by what to do versus what not to do. Do nots have their place as much as the do's, but the do nots concentrate on the negative, where the do's concentrate on the positive. Sure, there are lots of things we probably shouldn't do, but it's also extremely wise to focus on the things that you should do. In either case, in life, it's definitely important to understand the difference between the two fundamental philosophies. And it's important to understand how each influences you. Do take time to understand that. For something else great to do, listen to my new podcast, Tackling Life, with football legend Ray Lewis.
That's the sound of your KFC chicken sandwich order. That's what happens next. Your chicken is Kentucky Fried to order. And that's the sound of your chicken being put on a brioche bun. Brioche buns don't make a lot of noise. Then we add sauce and pickles and serve your sandwich to you piping hot. Order the KFC chicken sandwich. It's Kentucky Fried to order on the KFC app or at KFC.com. At participating locations, prices may vary.
Hello. Discover here to explain our cash back match. Here's how it works. We give you cash back for using your Discover card on the things you were going to buy anyway. Then we match that cash back in your first year. And that's why we call it cash back match. Now to recap and say cash back one more time. We match all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year automatically. Discover. Exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Senate is in session today, and there will be testifying before the Appropriations Subcommittees. FDA Commissioner Robert Califf will be there about 10 o'clock Eastern, and Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg will be there about 10:30 in the morning Eastern. Russia and the United States have carried out an unexpected prisoner exchange on Wednesday. Marine veteran Trevor Reed was exchanged for a Russian drug trafficker serving a long prison sentence in America. Trevor Reed's parents, Paula and Joey, on CBS News.
He's doing better. We spoke to him early this morning right after he got on the plane, and he sounded a little subdued, kind of like he was maybe in shock. But then we spoke to him, I guess, about an hour ago. Sounded much better. They had got some fluids and food into him.
Trevor was sentenced for 9 years for allegedly grabbing a police officer's arm during a DUI arrest. USA Radio News.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment. all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots, and like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Seeing how sanctions were a complete failure in stopping Russia from invading Ukraine, the topic has now gone to nuclear weapons and war crimes. The Center for Research on Energy and Clean Air is reporting why sanctions failed. Russia received about $66 billion in fossil fuel sales in the 2 months since the forces invaded Ukraine. The biggest buyers? European Union, Germany, Italy, and China. With the sale of Twitter to Elon Musk this week, the deal won't close for a few more months, but that hasn't stopped the people that realize Twitter can be manipulated to shun a segment of society from claiming they'll be shunned when Elon takes over. Republican Senator John Kennedy on Fox News weighs in.
They're also not normal Americans. They believe, for example, that kids should be able to change their gender at recess. They believe that cops are more of a problem than criminals. They believe that government employees in Florida have a constitutional right to talk to five-year-olds about sexuality. Now, again, that's all okay. This is American. You can believe what you want. But they can't and shouldn't censor those on Twitter who disagree with them. Mr. Musk has bought it, and here's what I think he should do. I think he should call in all the woke Twitter executives and say, folks, we're going to start respecting free speech. I promise you at least one will say, Mr. Musk, we can't do that, and I won't do that. That's the one Mr. Musk should fire.
I'm Lance Pry. This is USA Radio News.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Welcome to the farm, where you can roll your windows down.
Second half hour here with the American Family Farmer Program. Matthew Steinberg is here. He runs Exhibit A Brewing in Framingham, Massachusetts. You can go to their website, exhibit-a-brewing.com, to get an idea of what they're doing, how they're doing it, how farmers... Have you ever come across a farm, Matthew, that has been brewing beer as well? Are there such places as farms? We all know about milk being sold on the farm, but are there any farmers that have a brewing, I don't even, what are you, brewing tub?
Yeah,
whatever you call the process.
Absolutely. There's many, many farms that brew beer throughout the country. There's a great one in Connecticut actually called Kent Falls Brewing Company. They have a working farm with a little bit of livestock and some growing, and some, they grow hops, they grow I think a few other like vegetable kind of things, but they have chickens and pigs and things like that, and that's a working farm. There's Outland Farm Brewery up in Maine, and they also are a working farm and brewery. It's actually a fairly, you know, kind of common connection between the farmer and the brewer, which is, you know, obviously we're using agricultural products, so that makes sense. There's also a new brewery that opened up at a hop farm in Northfield, Massachusetts, called Four Star Farm and Brewery. And they're a hop farmer. They grow about 17 acres of hops and provide hop products for the local market. And their brewery just opened, I think, actually, like during the pandemic here, like within the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely something that's happening. There's a lot of breweries that are in farming environments, whether they're actually farming or not, I think is, you know, on an individual basis. I know that up in New Hampshire, in Hampton, there's a brewery called Throwback, and they are a real farm with vegetables, and they have a restaurant where they make food from the from their foraged items that they grow, and also they're a brewery.
You know, that reminds me, there are also, now as you're challenging me to think about other experiences and stories and places I've been, in Berlin, Massachusetts, there's a farm that's a winery. Do you know that place? I'm trying to remember what the name of it
is. I mean, is that Neshoba Brook?
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is, Neshoba Brook. Yeah, right.
So
there are farms that then, and there are a couple of more out in that neck of the woods that have vineyards, and they also, you know, they're making wine, but they also are raising animals, and they have a big, there's one farm that has a really big vegetable season that also is growing and making its own wine. So, again, the idea here is to give people inspiration and ideas. What can you do on your farm that you're not doing now that maybe you can? What can you do that your farm will adapt well to, and in some circumstances, is growing grains ought to be as easy as growing hay, right? I mean, I'm thinking about it. What more do you have to do? I spread my compost out in the field and plant the hay seeds. So I might as well plant these kinds, you know, the same sort of brew grain that you have. And there's some that has been developed just for you, or you found them? I know that a lot of the grains you're using are grown along the Connecticut River Valley. So have you been able to pick the grains that you want, the things that you can use to brew your beer? Do you pick them?
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, yes. I mean, so just to be clear, we do use a wide variety of barley, wheat, rye, and different cereal grains in our beers, coming from actually all over the world, Germany, mm-hmm. England. But we've, you know, since we opened, one of our big focuses was trying to source as much of this locally as we can. And our partners in that are Valley Malt, and Valley Malt in Hadley in Holyoke, Massachusetts, is a malt maltster. They work directly with farmers to get cereal grains for the use for brewing, distilling, as well as baking. They're also a miller as well, so they make flour.
Oh, sure,
Under their company called Ground Up Grains. And the interesting part of that you know, the interesting and value there with the partnership with Valley Malt and Exhibit A is that we do kind of get to pick our grains, and in the sense of, like, I've described to Andrea and Chris, the owners there at Valley Malt, like, this is what we're trying to do, this is what we want, these are the flavor components that we're looking for, what do you have and what can we develop if you don't have it? And we've worked with them directly for the last 6 years, getting those grains where we want them, making the malt exactly how we want it. And we have a variety of grains from them that are not necessarily specific to us, but certainly are specific to our needs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's not necessarily something that's just exclusive to my brewery. And, in fact, many of my friends' breweries are using these grains as well. The big one for us that we've been super proud of using is Warthog Wheat, which is a red wheat that's grown by Tor Oshner and his family farm in Newfield, New York. And we are one of the largest users of Warthog wheat in Massachusetts. It goes in almost every beer that we make, and it's a beautiful product that we are super proud to use. And that's their specialty. Tor and his farming crew over there, that's what they do. They grow that wheat, and they are the best at it, as far as I can tell.
How do you decide what the audience or what your customers are going to want? How do you know which of these grains is going to make the right, have the right combo in it to have a tasty beer that people are going to enjoy?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, one of the biggest challenges of making anything that's consumable. It's on a subjective nature. Someone's going to like it and someone isn't, you know, and I think one of my skills is certainly designing beers from raw materials. So I've gotten pretty good at understanding what the consumer wants and what I want. And somehow I meet them right in the middle. And, mm-hmm. it's really important for me to obviously be super proud of not only the raw materials we're using, the processes that we use, the people that are in the brewery with me for making these beers. But really it's that big moment when a consumer brings it to their lips and they have that smile and they're like, oh, this is great. I love this. That's the part that really matters, you know. And what I would like to say is I tend to use music as a analogy, if you will. But how does a songwriter know that it's going to resonate with the fan? We really don't. You know, you can feel it. You can think it's going to resonate, but you won't know until it's ready.
Well, but there's a lot of experience-based, and this is an experience-based circumstance, it would seem to me. Hold on for a second. Continuing in a few more minutes with Matthew Steinberg from Exhibit A Brewing, their website, exhibit-a-brewing.com, something for you to check out. Drinking a lot of beer can put a lot of weight on you. That's probably the only negative here to all this discussion about beer. People getting thirsty. Hey, let's have a can of beer. Let's have a bottle of beer. Let's have some tap. Well, the weight loss stories that come, I'm not suggesting that beer is the only way you put on weight. And if you drink responsibly, you're probably not going to put on any weight. But the whole problem of weight loss, weight gain, is exacerbated because people do get onto programs. They do lose weight. They are successful in losing. And then they go back to their evil ways and they start putting the weight back on again. And so what do you do about that? Well, I'm going to send you to a website called toploss.com, which is the home of Calitrin. And Calitrin is a 25-year product. It's been around 25 years. Doctor, three of his nurses were treating people for obesity, and they came across this formula, which is all natural, which is just perfection. Aloe vera, collagen proteins, digestive enzymes all put together to help your body repair and rebuild after you've lost the weight. Especially if you do a crash diet sort of thing, a lot of exercise, it's good to get the weight off, but then keeping it off and getting your body back into shape, that's why you choose Calitrin. Right now, for the end of, until the end of the month, they're celebrating their 25th anniversary, so $25 off a 90-day supply of Calitrin, the all-natural way, the only all-natural way to lose that weight and keep it off. So celebrate with them. Celebrate your success. Go to toploss.com. When you check out, use the DJV code, which will give you free shipping and that $25 off. Product fabulous. And usage and success also fabulous. Check it out for yourself so you'll feel good about losing the weight and keeping it off. Go to toploss.com.
Calitrin is collagen. We're born with collagen. We lose it. You're putting back into your body what your body has naturally. There are no drugs. There are no stimulants. And what it does, it supports the lean muscle. It burns your stored fat. You're going to more than likely see inch loss before weight loss. That doesn't happen fast. Also, if you have anything joint-wise, muscle-wise, it's going to go there first. You know, your body breaks down the collagen protein, and one of those proteins is glycine, which helps your body sleep more soundly. So there's many, many benefits, but it's one of your few that your heart patients, your diabetics, if you're on prescription meds, it will not interact at all.
There's a 45-day money-back guarantee. Use the code DJV for free shipping and to get these BOGO deals. It's a great way to lose weight, the healthiest way to do it in America. Check it all out at toploss.com.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Back with Matthew Steinberg here on the American Family Farmer program, originating on my farm in Framingham, Massachusetts. My labor of love is the farm and keeping it as a farm. And also, I'm very proud of what has gone on in my community, a very diverse community. And I think Matthew Steinberg is helping that, because there are a lot of small businesses that have gotten started here. And you have, the sky's the limit, I suppose. We were talking about Jim Koch. What are your aspirations? What are you, you've been doing this for 25 years. So does your mother say, okay, Matthew, what are you going to do when you grow up?
Yeah, they did. Both my parents did that. I mean, my aspirations are to build and maintain a stable company that profits and pays our people well and contributes to the community in a positive way. Supporting obviously local farms is a big part of it, but also giving back to the community and having a place that provides a safe and diverse, place to visit and also to think about when you're supporting us in the market. You know, we do sell our beer throughout Massachusetts as well as the rest of New England, except for Connecticut. We also sell beer in Japan and California.
Really?
In Virginia, yeah.
How'd you open up a market in those other countries? How'd that happen?
Yeah, Japan was kind of random. Like they came to us and said, "Hey, we're starting this company called Drink Uppers, and we're going to be providing the cities with these vending machines that are chilled like a soda machine." And that's how they sell our beer.
I can just see that now. We'll have vending machines for beer. Now that sounds like that isn't even legal in Massachusetts, is it, or in America anywhere?
I don't think so. I don't know, but they certainly love it in Tokyo. I'll tell you that. So,
I wouldn't have even thought about it. Beer and the Japanese people just don't seem to go together. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, the young clientele that 25 to 35 year old Japanese people are big time supporting the American craft beer.
They like American everything, I think, at that age, don't they?
Because
the Second World War is kind of worn off. The grandparents and parents that remember, perhaps with a little anxiety, what happened in World War II, that's all gone now. The universality of the world being so small, and they probably they don't have the land to grow stuff like this, so they're looking around, and America has become well known. You'd think, is it ever compared with like what happens in Germany or Austria? Because I know there were a lot of some of these breweries in the Alps that used to, I don't know if they still do, used to have an impact.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We try to just focus on what we're doing. I'm not exactly sure what's going on over there.
Apparently you are doing well. You got local grain, a lot of notoriety, and what I would like, I'm not a beer drinker, but I would like if you could find a blueberry based beer, maybe I'd drink it. I like the fruity stuff. Huh?
Yeah, there are. We do a fruited beer right now. It's got passion fruit, pink guava, and orange juice.
Oh, all right. Maybe I'll have a little, because it's good when you're in the hayfield in the summertime, have something like that to quench your thirst, if you will. So a lot to be learned. Matthew, thank you for being here telling us the story of Exhibit A Brewing. Again, the website, exhibit-a-brewing.com. Matthew Steinberg here with Doug Steffen on the American Family Farm.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Welcome to the farm.
After the hour now on the American Family Farmer, I'm Doug Steffen. Yes, I'm an American Family Farmer and a broadcaster. Been around the farm, been around cows all my. I just sounded like a New Englander. Fam, I've been around the fam. I have been around the farm, and love still being around the farm. I don't know what my life would be like, frankly, if I didn't have the farm, didn't have the animals, didn't have the tractors, didn't have the people that I work with. And at this time of year, it's kind of fun because there are a lot of auctions that I find to be very important part of the community of agriculture. And all of the stories that we tell on the American Family Farmer are available sort of in abbreviated form in our podcast every week at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com. So just go to AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com. You can see the podcast. You can see the highlights of the programs, discussions, etc. You go back years and years and years. A lot of questions come from people who want some answers. So you can look at the title, the information that's in the podcast, and grab onto it and enjoy listening to it every week. It's new at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts. This portion of the program is usually left to me and my thoughts, my opinions about things. And my thought this week goes to springtime and ice cream. I have been selling ice cream on my farm for a long, long time. Used to make it myself when I was milking. Don't anymore. Finding good ice cream is one of the challenges. This past weekend, I went to a new purveyor, a fellow that's been in the dairy business. His family is in, I think, the sixth or seventh generation of making ice cream and milk and things that people really are, if you'll pardon the pun, thirsty for. Good local quality, good taste, just good ingredients. And so as I think about this time of year and what we do at this time of year, and what we can't, unless we're in dairy, it's probably not a lot to sell if you're north of the Mason-Dixon line, but that's changing. A lot of people are selling plants and flowers and that sort of thing, maybe compost. I've gotten quite a large composting operation going on my farm, and the stuff's being bagged and sold, and it really is being well received because it's great stuff. And so there are, you know, the whole business about what's going on in the pastures. I pasture my cows 100% grass-fed. All of them are. And that's what more people who are looking for good dairy are looking for from dairy farmers. This is a great way to produce the desirable milk and ice cream and cheeses that are such an important factor in what you deliver to your consumers. They can get crap in the store. They don't need your stuff. Nah, I shouldn't say all the milk in the store. There's some people, local dairies that do have inroads to some of the grocery store chains that are smart enough to feature local. But if they don't, then I can guarantee you that whatever people who are drinking the milk that doesn't come from you and your farm or from local farms is pretty much crap, especially with the consolidation more and more of the sources of processing. So I guess going back to where I am at this time of year, thinking about the quality index of the products and how it's so much fun to see the cows out in the pasture, the grass, the benchmarking of the quality of the grass-fed milk. It's you can taste, you really can taste the difference. And you can do that. This fellow I went to visit at the ice cream plant, there's so much difference in the quality of the local ice cream. I can, again, almost guarantee you that locally produced ice cream is going to be better than anything you can find in any grocery store anywhere, unless they are focusing on the local producers. Ben and Jerry's used to be a great brand. Not so much anymore, because they sold out to some big company, and they've kind of watered down the quality of the ice cream. It's still okay, but it's not like it was. And that happens with a lot of things. Local regional brands, like here in New England, it was the Friendly Ice Cream Company that had everybody talking about how great their ice cream was in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. And the family sold out, and the quality of the ice cream went down, and it keeps going down and down, as does the quality of pretty much everything. And so it was kind of a farm family thing. The people that started Friendly Ice Cream were from farm families, and they had a dairy. And, you know, it became a restaurant chain, and now the quality is awful. And so I just think that if you are going through this making ice cream, you're producing local milk, you should be crowing about that. There should be news, local news channels and newspapers or online sources of news telling your story. And if they aren't, you should be doing something about it. That would be my advice. Make a lot of noise about your product, because I'm sure it's good and people want to know about it. That's the situation here this week on the American Family Farmer.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.